Hey, it's Dan Patrick. Here's your chance to score with Maaco Auto Body Shop. Join us in San Francisco for Super Week. That's right, a trip for two, airfare, hotel stay, and VIP access to see us do our show. Maaco also giving away 5 free paint jobs and 10 swag bags. Enter daily for a chance to win. Get official rules at danpatrick.com. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S., D.C. residents 18 or over. Ends 11/23/25.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars, Episode N. My colleague and co-host and friend David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show, is here, and we're headed to the moon, also in a time machine to the moon. We welcome someone to help us tell the story of Apollo 16 in 1972, Rob Godwin. He is the publisher of RCG Publishing, a number of books about famous and unknown missions in Apollo land. This is the 20th century. Everything was bigger and fresher and newer because David was. This is our youth. But now, looking back, there's a sentimental value to examining what happened with Apollo 16. This was the penultimate mission to the moon by the Apollo program. The three astronauts on board Apollo, John Young, he commanded the mission. Command module was Thomas K. Mattingly II. And the lunar module pilot was Charles M. Duke Jr., Charlie Duke. Rob, a very good evening to you. You have spoken with, I believe, Commander Young.
Hi, John.
The memories of this mission are dim now here in the 21st century. What was the mission profile? What was their challenge going to the moon? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yeah. Well, I mean, the story is it was the fifth successful moon landing, and we'd had Apollo 13 go awry in between. But they got to the point now where science was the main goal of going to the moon. And so Apollo 16 had about 24 science experiments to conduct. One of the other things that they had to do, one of the three main jobs they had to do, of course, was to collect rocks. And the other thing was to conduct in-flight experiments and take lots of photographs. So, you know, they went out there and did a lot of these experiments on the way there, which included things like using an X-ray detector to look at things like black holes, believe it or not. They were looking at the anomaly in Cygnus, the Cygnus X1 black hole at the time, and trying to take pictures of that and figure out what that was. And one of the other things which they did was they deployed a satellite in lunar orbit, which was placed there to see if the moon had much of an atmosphere, to look at the moon's magnetic field, if it had one, and to also look at gravitational anomalies on the moon, which they ended up calling mass concentrations.
Wonderful. All wonderful, Rob. Let's take off. April 16th, 1972, the Saturn V. What was that? Why is it famous? How did we lose it, Rob?
Well, we lost it because of Apollo 13, mostly. Apollo 13 was such a sort of catastrophe in the sense of the political hit that after the hearings from Apollo 13, they decided to cut back on the Apollo moon landing program and cancel Apollos 18 and 19, which were going to go to some pretty interesting places. They retasked one of the Saturn V's, which had already been built, to use for America's first space station, which was Skylab. And the other two Saturn V's, which had already been built, ended up as lawn ornaments in Houston and Florida. That's pretty much what happened.
The Saturn V, please explain to our younger audience. It was very big. Is it as big as what is going on in Boca Chica now?
I believe that what they're doing in Boca Chica with SpaceX's Starship is slightly bigger. I'm not sure how many feet it is bigger, but the Saturn V was 365 feet high, three stages with the spacecraft included on top, and it also had a launch escape system tower, which gave it that final height. The big difference, of course, is that Saturn V was powered by kerosene and then cryogenic engines, which use liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen, so they're very powerful. Whereas I think what SpaceX are up to, they're building their own engines, which, if I'm not mistaken, are using mostly kerosene. I might be wrong about that, but they're using a different kind of propellant. And of course, the thing is that the Starship is going to be able to lift, you know, a huge amount of mass into orbit. The only difference being, I suppose the main difference being, is it for it to be used as a lander itself. The actual Starship will be landing on the moon. This enormous great thing is planned to land on the moon. Whereas with Apollo, it was, you know, a 30-foot tall, 33,000-pound tiny little spider-like lander that could only hold two people.
David, I have a question for Rob.
Rob, wasn't Apollo 16 where they also planted some explosives for future seismic testing, and they had to plant explosives on the surface of the moon?
They were going to do that. In fact, they were going to do that on 14. And I had the good fortune of interviewing Edgar Mitchell about the Apollo 14 landing. And he said that they laid out these mortars, and they decided not to fire them in the end because they were set to go off at a certain distance, and they were afraid that it might pollute the other science experiments. And Ed Mitchell told me, he said that they were very, very happy that they didn't have to fire those because they were quite sort of concerned about the danger that those posed. I don't know if 16 actually did fire the mortars. The plan was to fire them after they left. But Ed Mitchell told me that the code for firing them remained active for many, many years. And in theory, somebody with the right frequency and the right code could have ignited them from the ground a decade or more later.
We take off on April 16th, and the voyage out, they go into orbital insertion on April 19th. Any significant events on the way out? And you spoke with John Young. What does he remember about the voyage?
Well, the first question you asked is about the glitches. They had all kinds of gas leaks. They had nitrogen leaks and helium leaks and all kinds of things, which caused problems. And they also had a problem with the gimbal mechanism, which is the pointing mechanism on the main spacecraft engine, the service propulsion system on the service module. All of those things contributed to problems later. To the second question you asked, John Young, the main thing that he was concerned about, there was two things, both happened on the moon. One was the leaking orange juice that they had inside the spacesuits. It was a real problem. It turns out that this little nozzle that they had inside the helmet, which was designed to keep them hydrated when they're out on the lunar surface, when they bent over inside the spacecraft to do up their zips on their suits and so forth, this thing would press against the headset microphone and start leaking into the helmet. And by the time they got outside, Charlie Duke's helmet was just coated with orange juice. And he had to live with that on the surface for the entire time they were out there. And indeed, it was so bad that when they got back inside, they had to use a vacuum to try and vacuum the orange juice out of the seals because they were afraid the seals on their helmets wouldn't seal up again. The second thing, which John Young was particularly upset about, even when I interviewed him years and years later, I didn't ask him about it because I knew how upset he'd been about it. And that was, he had tripped over one of the control wires to one of the experiments that they just started to deploy on the lunar surface. And he didn't realize he'd caught his boot in the wire, and he'd actually yanked the thing right out and broken it. And so I didn't ask him about it. And when we were talking at the end of my interview with him, he said, "You didn't ask me about the heat flow." And I said, "Well, you know, I've read everything there's to know about. I know you're upset about it." And he said, "Yeah, I was really, really upset about it." And then he went on about it for 5 minutes, like 20 years later, still mad at himself. And indeed, it wasn't really his fault. The way that the connector was designed, it was so weak that when he trapped his foot in the cable and pulled, he didn't even know he'd pulled it out. There was nothing to stop it from being broken.
David?
Did the crew know that there was just going to be one more mission left for humans to go to the moon, and what were their thoughts about it?
Yes, they did know, because 18 and 19, as I said earlier, had been canceled right after the Apollo 13 hearings in 1970. So by the time Apollo 16 went in April of 72, they'd had almost 2 years to get used to the fact that they were second to last before, you know, Apollo 17 went in December of 72. All of them were concerned about the fact that, you know, that the budget had been cut back and that they were scrapping these perfectly functional Saturn V launch vehicles. Having said that, there were dangers involved. And that was that the solar maximum was starting to gear up. And that's when the sun's output of radiation that's particularly nasty goes in 11-year cycles, and solar maximum was starting to come. And if they'd been on the lunar surface when there'd been a major solar flare or a mass coronal ejection, as they call them, they could have died. And indeed, they missed one by a matter of a few weeks. One of the Apollo crews got home and back inside the Earth's magnetic field, which protected them just before it hit.
We're speaking with Rob Godwin. He is the publisher of RCG Publishing, also our guide on the history of the Apollos. We're at Apollo 16, 50 years, springtime of 1972. David Livingston is Dr. Space. The space show is available all the time across the country. Rob Godwin is the publisher of RCG Publishing. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.